Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bharti, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Capri Global Capital Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Ravikant Bhatt from Capri Global Capital Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bharti. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Capri Global Capital Limited's earnings call to discuss the Q4 and FY21 results. We have on the call today our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma. Mr. Raj Ahuja, ED and Group CFO. Before we move on to the main remarks, I'd just like to remind everyone that the discussion in today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must therefore be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces in the ordinary course of business. I would now like to request our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, to take us to give us an overview on the on the quarter gone by, which will be followed by commentary on the financial performance by ED and CFO, Mr. Raj Ahuja. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to catch up with you all once again to discuss Capri Global's quarterly financial results. As all of you are aware, we declared our audited consolidated results for Q4 FY21 and FY21 yesterday. I hope you have found time to go through the earnings release. I shall first dwell upon the business and earnings highlights for the quarter gone by and then give you an overview of this business environment and our strategy to navigate the same in FY22. The gradual easing of lockdowns in Q3 FY21 followed by improved mobility in Q4 FY21 enabled us to bounce back towards business normalcy in Q4 FY21. As a result, we achieved a strong momentum in disbursement, leading to healthy overall AUM growth. However, the challenge from the disruption due to lockdowns renewed in late Q4 FY21 and has continued in Q1 FY22. All the geographies in which we operate are in a fresh or extended lockdown till May end to June 1st week. As a result, we are already seeing Q1 FY22 mirroring Q1 FY21 in the terms of business momentum. We have suspended fresh dispersal in Q1 FY22. We expect meaningful pickup in business only in H2 FY22. This is premised on the expectation that better vaccine availability and faster pace of vaccination starting Q2 FY22 shall eventually pave way for business normalcy in late Q3 FY22, Q4 FY22. Whether the much talk about third wave turns out a red herring remains to be seen. Therefore, at this point, we do not want to hazard an estimate about the growth we are likely to achieve in FY22. As I mentioned earlier, we do believe growth, like in FY21, shall be back-ended and happen in later part of the year. Although our near-term stance is one of caution, we remain confident in our business and the growth path we see later in the year and over the medium term. The near-term caution is also warranted by the likelihood of an increase in the stress level, particularly in MSME book. Our relationship managers have been collecting feedback from clients. We expect elevated strain in the H1 FY22. Nevertheless, it is an evolving and dynamic situation and we shall be in a better position to provide an update post Q1 FY22. Our capital adequacy level is one of the best in the peer group. ALM well matched in all the buckets and liquidity position extremely robust. Suffice to say, our conservatives on liquidity management resulted in some negative carry on the liquidity during FY21. As part of liquidity management, we continue to prepay costlier borrowings and shall continue to do so in FY22. The treasury starts with short-term deployment of surplus funds and taps some creditworthy short-term opportunities through the yield are then unattractive. We are also looking at diversifying our source of liquidity and strengthening capital base. In this regard, the Board of Directors of CGCL have approved a fundraising plan involving an option to raise fresh funding through a mix of convertible instrument or issuance of ordinary shares up to Rs. 15 billion. This is subject to shareholder approval. During Q4 FY21, we initiated distribution of third-party products in a car loan segment. We currently have tied up with the three leading commercial banks to distribute their car loan products for a fee consideration. We are distributing this product from all our locations from the initial momentum we have achieved. We see immense potential for the scale-up through new alliances. Initiatives shall not carry any credit risk for the loans it originates in this category. A sustained improvement in COVID scenario in late Q3 FY21 and Q4 FY21 offered renewed hope on business normalcy. We decided to move ahead with the planned additions to our frontline staff. The CGCL family now comprises over 1,900 dedicated staff compared to little over 1,500 at the end of Q3 FY21. We have not added any new branches during this quarter. We continue to operate from 85 branches spread across 8 states in the northwest and south. Planned addition to new branches is being delayed to H2 FY22. Apart from natural attrition, there is no plan to reduce staff count. To sum it up, we are happy to have navigated an extremely challenging year well. We understand the current year with the second wave and the much talk about third wave could be similarly challenging. However, our balance sheet is well prepared to weather any stormy year. I am hopeful we shall have stories of progressive improvements to share in our future conversation this year. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to our Group CFO, Mr. Raj Ahuja.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Raj Ahuja. I'm the Group CFO of Capri Global. I shall be presenting the key performance highlights of the quarter 4 FY21 and the full financial year FY21. Wherever I will not be specifying, all references will be to the consolidated financials and not on the standalone financials. I will start with the business highlights first. Our consolidated disbursements increased 2.9 times quarter on quarter and 2.4 times year on year to rupees 9.7 billion in this quarter. Our total AUM stood at rupees 48.5 billion, which is up 19.4% quarter on quarter and 20.1% year on year. We do not securitize our loan assets, so as such, we do not carry any off balance sheet AUM. MSME AUM increased 22.7% year on year. Housing finance increased 20% year on year, while construction finance AUM showed a decline of 9.2% year on year, which is well within line in our strategy. Indirect retail AUM increased 2.4 times year on year to rupees 3.1 billion. The indirect AUM is inflated due to exposure in the loan on against securities of rupees 2.5 billion. This is a short-term deployment of funds and shall run off in first half of FY22. You may refer to slides 5 and 6 of the investor deck to understand the quarterly trend in disbursements and AUM respectively. During the quarter, we purchased PTCs worth rupees 1.73 billion. This represents a pool of affordable housing loan primarily. The PTCs carry credit enhancements of rupees 596 million. The outstanding in this pool has since run down and current outstanding as of date is rupees 1.5 billion. PTCs are shown as a part of our investment portfolio in the balance sheet. We continue to maintain granularity in our business segments in terms of average ticket size, LTV ratios, and the geographical distributions. Overall, there is no chunkiness in the exposures and individual data is clustered around the mean values. Please refer to slide 12 to 14 for the segmental information in this regard. The consolidated borrowing stood at rupees 37.7 billion, which is up 12.6% quarter on quarter and 32.8% year on year. This comprises 80% bank loans and the rest in the form of the non-convertible debentures. We do not access any money market instruments during the year to fund our balance sheet. As a prudent measure, we shall continue to rely on medium-term borrowings in the form of term loans and to a lesser extent non-convertible debentures for funding our balance sheet. We shall continue to avoid money market instruments in the near future. I shall now speak on the core earnings. Our Q4 FY21 consolidated net interest income was impacted by interest reversals as well as the negative carry on the funds, causing a dip of 3% quarter on quarter and 2% year on year. We are reporting an overall yield of 15.5% on consolidated AUM. This compares to 16.3% in quarter 3 of FY21 and 16.6% in quarter 4 of FY21. On a full year basis, the yield was 15.6% as compared to 16.5% in FY20. The decline in yield was owing to overall decline in interest rate scenario. Slide 8 carries the periodic trends in the segmental yields. We took benefit of the soft interest rate environment during the year to actively manage our cost of funds through prepayments. The cost of funds during quarter 4 of FY21 declined 70 bps quarter on quarter and 200 bps year on year to now stands at 8.5%. On a full year basis, we improved our cost of funds by 140 bps. Spreads weakened by a marginal 10 bps quarter on quarter to 7% and improved 100 basis points year on year to 6.9% in quarter 4 FY21. On a full year basis, spread improved 50 bps to 6.9%. Our well-matched ALM book has ensured that we run minimal interest rate risk and the short-term spread volatility is now more episodic than structural. As part of managing our cost of funds and given our comfortable liquidity position, we shall continue to identify opportunities to prepay obligations for FY22. Employee cost was the major driver of OPEX as we pushed ahead with our plant recruitments in quarter 4 of FY21. The cost income ratio stood at 39.2% in quarter 4 and 35.2% in full year FY21. Consolidated credit costs, including write-offs, stood at Rs. 227 million and Rs. 545 million for quarter 4 FY21 and full year 21 respectively. Credit costs for full year on an average AUM was 132 bps. The full year net profit was Rs. 1770 million, a softer growth of 10% in our year, owing to a dip in quarter 4 of FY21. I shall now turn to the asset quality, the most important piece in our business. Our consolidated gross stage 3 ratio stood at 3.32% and net stage 3 ratio at 90 bps. We consider the entire stock of ECL provisioning to compute at the net stage 3 ratio. After the Supreme Court ruling in March 21 on asset quality classification, there are no accounts in standstill classification now. The gross stage 3 ratio is reflective of the stress from erstwhile pro forma NPAs. Our consolidated restructured book stood at Rs. 1,840 million, of which Rs. 20 million belongs to housing AUM of Rs. 11.6 billion, or 70 bps of housing AUM. The balance 1,820 million belongs to MSME AUM and constitutes 7% of the same. There are no restructured accounts in the rupees 11.8 billion construction finance and indirect retail lending book. Of the total stock of rupees 1.2 billion ECL provisions, rupees 220 million are held against these restructured accounts. We do not have any pending interest for restructuring in MSME or housing. However, given the scenario and the extension of forbearance scheme given by RBI recently, we are estimating likelihood of another 100 to 200 basis points restructuring at a consolidated level, mostly concentrated in the MSME portfolio. In summary, FY21 was a challenging year and has left stress challenges for the current financial year. As elaborated by Rajesh earlier, H1 of FY22 shall be the one of managing PLN challenges, while we expect H2 FY22 to present better growth opportunities. The first of FY22 shall be one of managing P&L challenges. We expect credit costs to remain elevated during this first half. Lockdowns have hurt small businesses and it is likely to show up in earnings in the shorter run. TTCL has amongst the strongest capital adequacy ratios at 37.7%, a healthy core operating profit and multiple liability relationships to fund its growth. We remain confident of the growth opportunities over medium term. With this, I shall conclude my remarks. We can now take questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, also please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Arun Somani from RMS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible? Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, Arun sir. Your voice is like quite breaking.
Am I audible now?
It's still breaking, sir. Can you rejoin the queue, sir, possible?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Next question comes from Alia Patel from Excel Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, could you describe what is our digital strategy? Is our target customer adept at using smart devices? How do we compete with new age fintech startups who are all well advanced on analytics?
Yeah, thank you. So our digital strategy is that while the customer segment we cater to are MSME and affordable housing, we more rely on a lot of processes and data analytics piece. Further, we have already hired Boston Consulting Group to strengthen our core business, which is MSME and affordable housing, to suggest the improvement in tech stack along with the artificial intelligence and data analytics piece to strengthen, which currently we are using. So we believe that with their advice, we can cut short on the turnaround time, which is going to improve our productivity, and also will help us to cross-sell our home loan in future, any product we add which we are contemplating. So that business strategy is going to be in place by the 3 to 4 months time. But as far as digital is concerned, in our customer segment, we can take the help of data analysis. We cannot expect these customers to be marketed in digital segment, the kind of no income proof customer in tier 3, tier 4 towns we are targeting, where property is a collection and underwriting is happening through personal discussion based. So what can be done is, and what we are doing currently, we analyze the data on the geography, on the collateral, on the income profile, which are the segment is showing higher CBR, which are the particular geography or particular branch is behaving in a particular manner. So we navigate and tweak with our underwriting policies or legal policies or technical valuations, all that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in queue if I have any other following questions.
Sure.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Radhika Loya from Mirae Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. So these two data keeping questions, just wanted to know if you can tell me the stage two assets as well as the write-off amount for this quarter.
Raj, will you take this question, please?
Sure. So as on March 31st, 2021, our stage two assets stand at 171 crores, which is a publicly disclosed number also. This represents a little less than 5% of our total asset book. And the total write-offs which we have taken in this particular quarter, just 1 minute. And the total budget written off is around 2.64 crores in this quarter. And for the total year, we have written off 5.4 crores, 34 million in FY21. This is as compared to 45 million written off in FY20.
Okay, thank you so much. That was it for my end.
Thank you, Adita.
Thank you, ma'am. Next question comes from Sripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So one of the I was going to the presentation, so wherein we have seen dip in collection efficiency in January. And then we've seen again that sort of reviving. So what is the reason, like any quali- related to that that you got to know for the day? Hello.
Hello, Rajesh sir.
Yeah, can you little audible, please?
So my question was with respect to collection efficiency across our MSME and housing finance book. Also, we saw a dip in the month of January, and then we again saw it, you know, reviving back to sort of December level. So what was the reason behind the same?
I am not able to attribute any specific reason. It's such. Let me just look at that.
This is slide number 19.
Yeah, so I can see there's a collection dip in January, and then it has picked up. I'm not able to give you exact answer. Maybe we will note your contact detail and get back to you by the evening.
And sir, how are we seeing the trend now, say in the month of April and May, for both MSME and housing finance?
So April and May, collection efficiency is definitely down because this time the lockdown was severe, or more in terms of there was more fear in the ground, in the people, and business has impacted. So collection efficiency has come down. RBI have already opened up the restructuring window for them. So anybody who approaches us will analyze their business and will give restructuring basis 3 months or 6 months deferment, whatever their business would warrant. But we hope now numbers of COVID positive patients are falling day after day, and vaccination drive, which government is focusing on, I think business should come back to starting from July, June, mid, or maybe July 1st week onwards. Business should come back to normalcy. So collection efficiency, April was, May is better, May looks better. And I think June and July should come back to the previous normalcy of February and March.
So just some number color, if you can, like tentative, if you can share.
So April collection efficiency was in the range of about 75%.
Mm-hmm. This is for MSME.
Yeah, for MSME.
Okay, and for housing finance?
Housing finance, it would have been about 82-83% exact. We will get back to you.
Okay, and sir, we have not restructured any of the construction finance, cases. So, the disbursement. So, how do you see that in course, the second wave, will we need to do any restructuring in that segment?
So in construction finance, we have not received any request for restructuring even in last year. And since we are funding smaller project where average ticket size is less than 8 crore rupees, and depending on city, their underlying ticket size of the apartment is between 3 million rupees to about 7.5 million rupees. And these are the smaller project, affordable home loan or the I would say in the largest city, they are the outskirts. So I believe their promoter skin is deep. Land is fully funded. Construction started after all the approval. And we have seen that with the focus approach of these smaller developers, we have not seen much restructuring request or delay from their side. So that portfolio, which is we are doing in a very retail way of doing construction finance, is doing better despite it is perceived to be a little riskier. So we are handling this business in the last 9 years, and this continue to behave in a very predictable manner.
Okay. So one last question. With respect to your housing finance disbursement, so how are you seeing that trend in the month of April and May? And if you can just give some color as to how would the share look like disbursements for fresh approvals versus disbursements for stage-wise construction that is going on. So how would that split sort of be looking like?
So we are not funding under construction properties in home loan.
Okay.
Whatever we have done earlier, but now we looking at the COVID situations and all, affordable home loan side, we are funding only ready properties. So now if you see the disbursement trend in April and May, practically there are no disbursements happening. There are very few negligible disbursements are happening in salaried segment, but we are going cautious. So I think June onwards, some disbursements will start again. April, maybe we are very cautious, and our entire focus, entire team, even regional team, sales and credit and collection were working together to continue to be in touch with the customer and focus on collection and also remain in touch and getting a sense. So disbursements have not happened in April, May, by and large.
Okay, got it. Good. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come in with you if I have additional.
Thank you,
sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Arun Somani from RMS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions to ask. The first one is, how are the things shaping on ground for MSME during the ongoing second wave? Any sort of feedback we might have, received from our customer in terms of how the business are faring for them and how soon do we expect this to be normal again, like 10, 12 months it was?
So, as I told, our team on ground is constant touch with the customers, and the sense we are getting in this time, COVID has impacted even rural areas. So definitely their business has impacted. But since they are very smaller businesses, the moment economy opens up with the result of lockdown and vaccination drive picking up, we hope this business will bounce back faster, because these are the light businesses we fund are of daily essential items, maybe kirana store, maybe a garment shop, maybe a bike repairing shop, maybe a job work small business. And these businesses are essentially are small in nature and run very efficiently by owner-driven small setup. So we believe that these businesses bounce back, and there's an adequate demand in this segment, because this no income proof customers, there are very few players who are catering to, and there's a huge gap, and there's a good opportunity exist. So I think by July onwards, the enough demand should be there in place.
And one of my last question is, in terms of asset quality, we have seen some increase over there as well. So,
can you be a little loud, please?
Yes. In terms of asset quality, this is my question related to that. We have seen some increase over there as well. So, with the ongoing situation, how do you see the credit cost shaping for the next couple of quarters? Is there any internal assessment done for the same value?
So, if you see in this year, we have done almost 50% more provisions to address the potential rise in delinquencies. Okay. And we believe that we are into secured space where most important collateral is mortgage to us, while in between delinquency may rise because of the current quarter situation. But if next 9 months go well, which looks like as of now, In that situation, our collection efficiency will bounce back to normalcy, and cases which have faced difficulty, they should also, with the resumption of economy activity at ground level, should start bouncing back. If you look at our NPA, which has grown to about 3.3%, I think next year end, it is difficult to predict, but we should not see much surprise in this. We are keeping a very tight control on this. Recently, we hired a very new collection head also, and we have about 180 plus collection team on ground. Plus, entire regional team, relationship manager, credit team is also given the responsibility of managing their one plus and collection. So, with this focused approach and increased efforts, we believe that yes, there will be some in between rise, but it should come back to normalcy level. So, we don't expect that our net NP will grow, gross NP will grow significantly from the current levels.
Okay. That's all. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Preeti Singh from Value Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just have a couple of questions from my end. So what is the potential of loan growth from our existing branch infrastructure, and what all cross-selling opportunities exist?
So, if you see, even in the most difficult time during last year also, when only second half was functional, even the last month, March 15 days is impacted by the COVID, we have grown almost about 20%. And we believe that second half of the year, hoping that normalcy will be back, will be a few more branches. And with that, we should be able to achieve a growth despite assuming that first quarter is completely gone almost. We should be able to grow 25 to 30%, hoping that 9 months remain stable and business bounce back and there is no much impact of the COVID and lockdowns. So, basis that, we can easily, our current branch potential has to deliver that 25% plus growth, even though we don't have much significant branches. With regard to cross-selling opportunity, so far our customer segment remained the same, whether MSME or home loans. And recently we have started new car loan origination to capitalize our understanding of these small customers. We are tied up with nationalized banks, and we are able to generate very good traction in that, and that should add some fee income in the year end. Besides, we are evaluating few more product addition, and I think the next 3 months that strategy will be clear, and when we announce our next quarterly results, I believe by that time we should be very clear which are the product we want to add. That will remain of the same kind of a customer cross-selling ideas. It can be potentially used car. It can be potentially short-term loans. Or it can be maybe gold loans. So we are working on that. That strategy is a work in progress. And once we finish it, we'll share with all of you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And another question is, all our loans are fully secured. So what has been our past record in recoveries, bad loans through sale of assets?
So recovery of sale of assets happen through three means. We agree to the customer to find a buyer, dispose of the property and repay our loan in case his business is not able to regularize the loan. Second can be, we can invoke arbitration, and through that we can attach the property and recover and auction the property and recover the loan. And third mode is, we can use the SARFAESI notification under which we can take over the assets. Now, during last year budget, SARFAESI limits have also been reduced from 50 lakhs to 20 lakhs, and our majority of the loan are covered in that category. So we believe combination of this, depending on what tool we are able to implement, if it is SurfAC, within 12 to 18 months, we are able to dispose of the property and realize the loan. And that is what our experience is. Arbitration, if in case you are not able to invoke SurfAC because of the lower amount of the loan, then it takes almost about 2.5 years to auction the property. But our experience is that majority of the time we are able to make customer agreeable to find a buyer and dispose of his property so that he can fetch a better value rather than we attach a tag of sale by an auction by a lender and thereby his value get eroded. So with this, our experience is good that except fraud cases, we are able to recover money in all the NPAs. Most of the time, it is principal plus interest. In some of the cases, we have to take a slight hit, maybe in interest, in some cases in principal, depending on the situation. So depending on litigation, if it can drag many years, we settle the loan. So case-to-case basis approach is adopted.
Okay, thank you for the detailed explanation. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, participants, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Rajagopal Ramanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. When you say a few questions, probably 4 or 5, you can jot them down and then respond accordingly. The first one is what are your expectations for the various product offerings? What has that for the past?
I would suggest if you can be really loud because some background noise is also coming. It's not better, but you can be more louder. Maybe that would be helpful.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Rajagopal, this is moderator here. So, can you speak a little bit louder? Can you come close to the speaker and speak? Yeah, it's better now, so you can proceed now.
Okay. What are the expected costs of your product segments that you offer? That's the first question. The second one is, I actually wanted to understand your construction finance business a little better. You did explain certain aspects, but typically what would a typical customer be like? The average tenure of these customers, and what are the security structures, and what has been your NPA experience in this business? That is as far as the construction finance business is concerned. The third question relates to the risk-weighted assets which get applied on the various product segments. If my understanding is right, the home finance business would be 50% or sub 50%. So what is the RWA that is applied on your MSME loan segment and construction finance? And a couple of other questions. What is your aspirational ROA, ROE, steady state obviously, these are conditions which are not steady state. But let's say if I go to take an investment bet on you, what should be the ROAs, ROEs that I should be building in when I would be taking an equity exposure on a company like you? And lastly, what are your value unlocking plans in your housing finance sector? Hello?
Yeah. So your first question, I'm not able to hear clearly, but I'll answer whatever I understood, and anything is left, you can ask again. How do we run our construction finance and what is our experience? So construction finance, our approach is to lend to small developer and do construction finance also in a very retail way. So if you see our ticket size is less than 8 crore, find a developer who is having experience of delivering at least 300,000 square feet, operating in that geography more than 5 years. And most of the time, these are family-run businesses, small developer, family members are doing their businesses last 1 or 2 decades. And they are doing small project in one very specific geography. So, for example, a developer operating in the outskirts of Pune is only in that surrounding area, keep buying land, taking approval, launching project. So, and they are doing 4-story to 7-story or 10-story buildings. But the apartment size is small in terms of cost-wise. So they are sometimes 30 lakh rupees to 75 lakh rupees value of apartment, and land is fully funded, approved in place, and they need money so that they can complete quickly their construction and get out of the project. Now these projects, being they are 4-story, 7-story or 10-story project, they don't take normally more than 18 months to 36 months maximum to complete. So our entire construction finance book, if you've seen, always see for at least 40% of prepayment, then weekly, then the sanction. And always generate a lot of cash every year and give lower OPEX and better yield. So far, our experience in construction finance is, except one or two cases where ticket size was larger and then we modified and corrected our course, that we will not give loan more than 25 crore to any developer, and most of the time they are less than 15 crore. And the, by the time we disburse the last 2-3-5 crore rupees, because of a sale of apartment, we are able to get back 3-4-5 crore rupees out of the escrow cash flow sharing mechanism. And his loan peak exposure never cross 8-9 crore rupees, despite sanction is 15 crore rupees. So that is done very in a focused manner by our experienced team. And we have very strong monitoring and risk management. Every project is monitored closely, the progress, the sale of unit. And we constantly push the developer. We don't deal with the larger developer. Our size of ticket of the loan is more important for him. So we are the largest lender. We don't share pari passu charge with any other lender. And entire construction finance book is only residential. There is no commercial. There is nothing else. So this is done in a very focused manner. And we have kept this book focusing on the profit and margin. We have never changed the number. If you've seen last year, compared to last year, this book has degrown by 25% because we were very cautious last year. Last year, a lot of repayment and prepayment have happened. And we have decided to go slow on the COVID situation. We have not seen any NPA or not even a restructuring request in this portfolio last year. So this book is doing quite well. And what would be the value unlocking for our housing finance company? I think we'll continue to grow this book for the next 2-3 years. And once it reaches some size, that is the time we will think. There is no concrete plan yet. Might be we can attract some strategic investor. Maybe we can list it separately. But this is too early to say, because next 2-3 years, I think we will be able to infuse adequate liquidity in this. This company is already having 4-5 times leverage and generating a ROE of about 17% kind of ROE. So this business will continue to do well. This book is having only home loan. There is no developer book. There is no LAP account in this book. So this book is focusing only home loan. And this book has our MSME and home loan has synergies. Same geography, same customer, same if underwriting. So operating cost also remains well balanced. And can you repeat if any of the questions left? Because first question I was not able to hear very clearly. Your voice is not coming audible.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Rajagopal, hello. Hello, Mr. Rajagopal. Mr. Rajagopal, we request you to join back the queue for further questions. Since we are unable to hear you, Mr. Rajagopal. All right, so I'll inform them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Thank you, sir. That would be the last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Rajesh Sharma for closing comments.
Yes, thank you. As you would have noticed from the presentation that we remain very focused on the segment we operate in. And the liquidity position, last year also we have done a lot of prepayment and negotiated a better interest rate. And there's a from 10% plus consolidated cost of fund, we have brought it down to about 8.5%. And resultant is that while we passed on this benefit to our customer also by lowering yield, still we have improved our overall spread by 50 plus basis point. We believe that we understand the business very well. There's a huge growth opportunity. Our entire business is having a collateral assets. So there's no much concern on these kind of time that which unsecured portfolio might face. And we believe that there's a huge growth opportunity lies ahead. We have about added 400 employees in last quarter, keeping in mind the potential. And we are able to grow about 20%. I believe in next year, despite first quarter looks like we will not be seeing much of the business traction, next 9 months we should be able to come back to the growth. And we continue to grow our books for next 3, 4, 5 years, add few more product, and maintain our liquidity position very well. So with combination of this, we see that there will be constant improvement in our ROE earnings and remain a very predictable, well-managed asset quality in place. Thank you. Thank you so much.